Can we leave a tooth and still get a dollar?
I didn't do that last night.
All right, one second. Good morning. Let's begin. So today's daf is Samech Ches. We left off the bottom of Samech Zayin Amud Beis. So the Gemara says, if you remember again, we could just pick up from the two dots. Kalan b'maklos. So we're talking about now the taking out of the Seir LaHashem and the Par to be burned. So the Gemara says, what did they do? Literally, they braided them on staffs. So the Gemara says, I'm Rabbi Yochanan, I'm coming Kaliyah. So we spoke about yesterday already that they went ahead, bottom of Samech Zayin Amud Beis. They went ahead and they placed the calf as well as the goat on top of the two staffs, four people, two on each staff carrying it out. So the Gemara says, I'm Rabbi Yochanan, come Kaliyah, Tana, lo haya menaschon mituach basar ola, ela or al gabe basar. So this is very interesting. Originally, they transported the animals out whole, but then they would cut them into pieces. They dismember them. Now, what the Mishnah, the Gemara points out over here is that when they would dismember them, they would not, I guess the word is flay them when you remove the skin. Flay. So they would not do that. Meaning, with certain carbonos, like we see like in Ola, before they would burn it, they would first flay it. They did not do that by these animals. So the Gemara says, Tana lo hayim menaschon nituach basar Ola, Ela or al gabe basar. They left the skin on top of the flesh. So the Gemara says, Minah harimili. Where do we know this from? Visanyo. Rebbe Omer Rebbe says, Ne'emar kan or ubasar uperash. V'ne'emar lahalon or ubasar uperash. So we'll say, it says over here. It says over here by the animals for the carbonos. If you look at Rashi, Ne'emar kan bepar v'soyer by the Yom Kippur carbonos. Parvavisar es orosehem, es orosam, ves pisaram, ves pirsham. So we'll say what that literally means is or is their skin, basar is their flesh, pirsham literally means their waist. So you would take everything out. It says over here, by the animals of Yom Kippur, oru basu perashu ne'emar lahalon, and it says there. Now Rashi says over there, the there, v'ne'emar, bepar koin mashiach, or ubasar uperash. So we've spoken about the par koin mashiach before. This is the carbon that is brought in the event that the koin godel commits an avera. He commits a chait inadvertently. So the Torah says by the par koin mashiach that you also take or basar uperash. So what does that mean? Top of samaches mal lahalan, just like by the par koin mashiach al yidei nituach velo al yidei hefshit. Although we dismember the animal before burning it, we do not flay it. We do not take the skin off the flesh. Afkan al yidei nituach velo al yidei hefshit. So too over here by the Yom Kippur animals, when we dismember them, but we do not flay them. So the Gemara is just pointing out is that lemaisa is just a simple comparison, almost like a gzeir shava between the animals over here by Yom Kippur and the par koin mashiach. So the Gemara says v'hasa minalan. But how do we know by the par koin mashiach that the animal is not flayed? So the Gemara says the Tanya, because we learned the so the pasuk over here says v'kirbo upirsho. It's actually ves or hapar ves kol besaro al rosho v'al kraav v'kirbo upirsho. So this is talking about the pasuk by the par koin mashiach. So the Torah says you will take the flesh of the par or the skin of the par, all of its flesh. Al Rosho with his head, Al Kra'av with his inside, Vikir Bo Upir Sho. And literally its insides and its waist. So the Gemara says, Vahotzi Melamed Shemotzi Shalim. This teaches us that we take the animal out whole. Yochol Yisrefenu Shalim. You might have thought that means that we burn it whole as well. Ne'emar Kan, it says over here, Rosho Ukrav. It says over here by the Par Koin Mashiach. Its head and its krav, v'ne'emar lahalon, and it says by the ola, rosh ukroim, ma lahalon al yedei nituach, just like by the ola, we dismember the animal before burning it, afkan al yedei nituach, so too over here, we dismember the animal before we burn it. I see the Gemara says that's the case, ima lahalon al yedei hefshit, afkan al yedei hefshit. So why don't you say in the same way that by the ola, we only burn the ola when after it's been flayed? So say the same thing by the parent sawyer. Or I should say, say the same thing by the par koin mashiach. Talmud lomar v'kirbo u'pirsho. Therefore, the pasuk says, and it's kirbo, it's literally its intestines and its perish and its waste. So the Gemara says, my Talmud. So how do we learn from kirbo u'pirsho that you don't flay the animal? Amar Rav Papa, Kishem Shapirsho Bikirbo, Kach Bisaro Ba'oro. So we'll say, in the same way that the waste remains in the intestines, so too the skin remains on the flesh. So we'll say, now what the Gemara is pointing out is something very interesting, just that little detail of sacrificial law. There were certain karbanos where you would sacrifice, you would offer up the kishkas, the intestines of the animal on the Mizbeach. When you did that, they would first squeeze out the waste from the intestines. So you have sacrificial rites that require squeezing out of waste. What the Gemara is picking up on over here is that Lamaisa, why does it have to say Kirbo Perish? The Gemara is suggesting the same way that the intestines are burnt whole, i.e. the waste still inside, so too the flesh is burnt whole with the skin on top of it as well. So also it seems to come out as the following. So therefore we learn out that the animal is dismembered as well as flayed. We learn out the concept that the animal is dismembered from Parkoy Mashiach, from the Ola, but at the same time we learn that it's not flayed because of Kirbo Upirsho. How, and then when we make a limud, we make a halachic bridge between the Par and the Sawyer to the Parkoy Mashiach to teach us that just the Parkoy Mashiach was dismembered, but yet still kept its skin on. So too, the Par and the Sawyer of Yom Kippur are dismembered before they're burned, but still keep the skin on. Okay, and that's the halacha. So remember again, the Mishnah spoke about that the person who takes the Seir La'azazel, his clothing become Tameh. And the Mishnah discussed at what point in time does the clothing become Tameh. So if you remember again, the Mishnah quoted the idea, the Mishnah said, the first opinion of the Mishnah said, Mishiyatzu chutz l'chomas ha'azara, as soon as he leaves the wall of the Beis HaMikdash. As soon as the Beis HaMikdash, clothing become Tameh. Rabbi Shimon says, no, it's only until when? The fire takes root, and it literally means shiyotzis or beruban. Only when the fire takes hold of most of the animal already. Okay, says the Gemara. Turn Rabbanan. Yotzi al michutz lamachane v'sarfu. So the Gemara says the pasuk says that you shall take it to outside of the camp, and you shall burn it. You shall burn it. This is by Yom Kippur. You shall burn it. So the Gemara says lahalon. Yet later on it says lahalon ato nosin lohem shalosh machnas. So we'll say the lahalon over here. It's talking about by the par kohen gadol. Remember, same par that we had before. Kohen gadol inadvertently commits an avera. There's a special carbon that he brings. So later on, it says by the par kohen gadol that you have to burn the par outside of the three machanos. Now, what does that mean? Now remember, machanos are a descriptive term of the encampment of the Jewish people in the midbar. Right, there was Machane Shechina, that's where the Mishkan was, Machane Levia, which was the Levitic camp around it, and Machane Yisrael. When the Gemara uses that, obviously the Jewish Israel did not live in that type of setup. So when the Torah says that you have to go out Mishchus Shosh Machanos, what that means is outside of Yerushalayim. So I'll say to burn the Par Kohen Mashiach, you had to go out of Yerushalayim. The Kan Atanosi Lahem Machane Achos. But yet over here, by the sacrifices of Yom Kippur, you only have to what? You only have to go out of one camp. Now, what's the one camp that the Gemara is referring to over here? The Beis HaMikdash. So what's the pshat? What's the pshat? Both are sin offerings. Yet for the Par Kohen Gadol, you have to go out of three camps, i.e. out of Yerushalayim. And for the Karbanos of Yom Kippur, you only have to go out of one camp, i.e. leave the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara says, Im Kain. So if that's the case that by the par and the soyer of Yom Kippur, all you have to do is take it out of the Beis HaMikdash, why does the Torah use the verbiage of Michutz LaMachane? Michutz LaMachane is the same verbiage that it uses by Par Kohen Gadol, and yet there it means all three camps out of Yerushalayim. Why, if you only have to take the carbon outside of Yerushalayim, does it use Lashon Michutz LaMachane? To which the Gemara says, Lomar Lacha, comes to teach you, Kevan sheyotze chutz lemachane achos. Once you leave one of the camps, mitamin begadim, comes to teach us that once you leave a camp, then lemaisa again your clothing becomes tameh. So the Gemara says v'hasam minalan. So the Gemara says, just by the way, let's go back for a moment. How do you know that by the par kohen gadol you have to burn it outside of all three camps? Where do you get that from? Hasam minalan desanya, because the Braisa says. V'hotzi es kol hapar. So the pasuk says, you shall take out the entire par. So we darshan that to mean, what does v'hotzi mean? Chutz l'shalosh machanos. We darshan that to mean outside of three camps, outside of Jerusalem. The Gemara says, "Ato omer chutz l'shalosh machanos." O ein le'elo chutz l'machana achas. The Gemara says, "How do you know that? How do you know it means outside of three camps? Maybe it means outside of just one camp." And remember, Gemara will say, "What does one camp mean?" Beis Hamikdash. Good. Kishu omer bepar ha'eda. When it says by the para'eda, Rabbos say, para'eda, the para'eda is to the Jewish people, what the par kohen gadol is to the kohen gadol. I know that was very helpful. Right? Mm-hmm. But the idea is that both are sin offerings when people transgress inadvertently. So it says by the para'eda, amichutz l'machaneh, it says by the para'eda that you have to burn it outside of the camp, she'ein tamud lomar. And the truth is, you don't really need this. Why? Shari kvar nemar, because the pasuk already says, v'saraf also, kasher saraf es par harishon. Because the Torah already links the par ha'eda to the par kohen gadol. Uma talmud lomar el michutz l'machane. Aye, so why does the Torah repeat the phrase michutz l'machane? Liting l'machane shnia. To give us already the removal from a second camp. So I will say again, we have one michutz l'machane by the par kohen gadol, another michutz l'machane by the par ha'eda, and these two concepts are linked. Ukishu omer michutz l'machane b'deshen. And when it says, by the chuma, by the removal of ash, she'en talmud lomar, that doesn't have to be stated either. Why? Shari kvar ne'emar, el shefach hadeshen tainlo, excuse me, el shefach hadeshen, because the pasuk already says that you shall take it out to the place where the deshen is poured, tainlo machane shlishis. So we'll say again, halacha l'maisa, all of these things happen in the same place, right? The par ha'ida, the par kohen gadol, and the Truma Sadeshen all occur in the same place. Therefore, again, the repeated phrase of Michutz L'machane indicates that for all of these items, ultimately, they're taken out Michutz L'shalosh Machanos. Reb Shimon, Hai Michutz L'machane, my Ovidle. What does Rabbi Shimon do with this Michutz L'machane? I will say, look at Rashi for just a moment. Remember how this whole thing started? This whole thing started that by the parents of Yom Kippur, the Michutz L'machane teaches us that, at least according to the Tanna Kamma, that as soon as he leaves the walls of the Beis HaMikdash, L'maisa again his clothing is tamei. Rabbi Shimon in the Mishnah said that the clothing does not become tamei until the fire takes hold of most of the sacrificial meat. So the Gemara says, according to Rabbi Shimon, then what does he do with Michutz L'machane? My Ovidle, mi boili l'chidisanyo. We need it for the following braisa. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, ne'emar kan Michutz L'machane. It says over here, Michutz L'machane, by Parvasor, and it says over there, Michutz L'machane. Okay, bro said, by the way, the over here, the over there now is Paraduma. So it says over here by Parvasor, Yom Kippur, Michutz L'machane, and it says by Paraduma, Michutz L'machane. Look at Rashi just a moment, bro said, Ne'emar Khan, Bepar Yom Kippurim, Ne'emar Lahalan, Bepara Aduma, but Hotzi Oza, Michutz L'machane. So the Gemara says, Makan chutz l'shalosh machanos, just like over here by the par and Yom Kippur is outside of all three camps, I outside of Yerushalayim, af lahalon chutz l'gimel machanos. So too, the para aduma also has to be done outside of the three machanos. So the Gemara says, umal lahalon b'mizrach oshay Yerushalayim, and just like by the par and Soyer, ultimately it's done in the east of Yerushalayim, af kan b'mizrach oshay Yerushalayim. Okay. So the Gemara says, "Rabbanon, heicha sarif lehu." Look at Rashi. The Rabbanon, the mafkile lekra the tumas begadim. The last exershas. So we'll say, according to the Rabbanon, who use el michutz l'machane to teach me that clothing only becomes tamei when he leaves Yerushalayim. So which direction do you go ahead and burn the par in the sot you're in? So the Gemara says, "Rabbanon heicha sarif lehu." Kedisanyo. We learned this in a brayso. Heichan nisrafin, where are they burned? Litzfona amabez, litzfona sheyirushalayim, to the north of Yerushalayim, v'chutz l'shalosh machanos, and outside of all three camps. Okay, Rabbi Yossi says, abez hadeshen nisrafin, they are burned by the base hadeshen. Now, what does it mean? Let's look at Rashi, abez hadeshen. Sarech sheyaktim l'sham deshen hamizbeach, Shehe Nikra Kodim Lachin Makom Shafa Hadesh. Mechlad Latana Kamal Sarah. So we'll say it's very interesting. Rabbi Yossi holds that the space in which the power, remember we said before that the way we get the idea of Michutz L'machane is because the Torah uses that same verbiage in three different situations. Par and Sar of Yom Kippur, Par Kohen Gadol, and Shumas Hadeshen, and the Shevach Hadeshen, the removal of, remember, I should be clear in my terms. The Shumas Hadeshen is the avoda that refers to taking just the kamitza of ash and placing it by the Mizbeach. But the ash service that we're referring to over here is what? Is the actual removal of the ash. Meaning there's a huge pile of ash at the end of the day on the Mizbeach. You have to get rid of that. So that was transported to a place outside of Yerushalayim. So the Gemara says like this. Rabbi Yossi says that the place to which the par and the sar of Yom Kippur are burnt has to be a place in which the ash of the Mizbeach was previously burnt, because the Torah uses the Lashon like this, V'hotzi es ha-par al michutz la-machane, al makom tahor, al shefach ha-deshen. So the Torah says, you shall remove the par to the place in which literally the ash was already poured. So Rabbi Yossi understands that in order for the particular place, this place, Al Sevi Shan, to be fit for the burning of the Par Tzibor, the Par, and the Sar of Yom Kippur, it has to be a place that it already has had the ash removed to it. So the Gemara says, Amar Rava, man tan de pagli Rabbi Yossi, who is the opinion who argues on Rabbi Yossi? Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, it's Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, because what does Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov say? Disanyo, El Shefa Chadeshen Yisarif. What does it mean? To the place where the Shevach Deshen literally means the place where the Deshen is poured. What does it mean to the place where the Deshen was poured? It shall be burned. Sheyehei l'sham l'shem Deshen. Now what does it mean? So take a look at Rashi. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakovi, he says, Do'omar lo ashmu'ina el-shihe makomo madron sheyehei dashno mishtapech. So this is very interesting. Excuse me. Disanya, a shavach hadeshin. Sorry, shehei l'sham deshin. I read Rashi too soon. So what does it mean? You shall burn the par. And again, Rabbi like, this time he's talking about the par of the Kohen Gadol. But remember, we're equating all of these concepts together. Par of the Kohen Gadol, par ultimately of Yom Kippur, par shel tzibor. So what does it mean that you have to burn it in a place where the ash was poured? It means that you have to pour it in a place where the ash has already been previously placed. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov says, Omer, Shiyehe Mekomo Meshupach. No. What he actually says is that Lemaiz, it has to be a place that is fit for the pouring of the ash. And Rabbi say again, what kind of place would you want to pour ash on? You would want to pour it on a sloped area. Why in a sloped area? Because the truth is, you don't want it to turn into a garbage dump. You don't want it to turn into an accumulation. So if you put it on a slope, ultimately, again, first of all, it'll roll down a little bit. And also, it's a little bit easier for it to get absorbed within the slope itself. Look at Rashi. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Rashi says, "De'amar lo'ash mo'inon elishim akoma majron, shi'ehe dashno mishtapeh." So, Rabbi, you see over here, a machlok is in Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Eliezer as to how to understand that phrase of El Shefach Hadesh Nisarif. Tanakhama says, say Rabbi Yossi would say that literally you have to burn these items in a place to which the ash was already previously taken. Rabbi Eliezer says, no, it means you have to place the ash on a place that's sloped. And maybe in reality, what they're actually arguing on is on a sloped area. Look at Rashi. So Abaye suggests that maybe they're not really arguing about the fact that ash has to be placed there beforehand. Maybe what they're arguing about is what? Does it have to be sloped? So maybe Abai says, maybe everybody agrees that Lamais, in order to go ahead and establish this place as a place that's fit to burn the power, it has to have first been a place that was used for the deshen. The only machlokas is, does it have to be sloped? Okay. Ten Rabbanon. Vasorif. Hasorif mitami begadim. Velo hametis hasar. So the Torah says that hasorif, the person who burns the par, becomes tame. So the Gemara mentions, it's only the person who burns the par, but not the person who lights the fire. So Rosh Hashanah says, like, in the burning of these animals, there might be many people who participate in this process. It's only the person who burns the par itself who's tame, but the people who contribute are not. Furthermore, v'lo ametzis, v'lo ametzis esor, v'lo mesader sa'amaracha, and the person who arranges the pyre, the wood, on which the animal is going to be burnt also. Again, it does not become tame. And who is the one who's considered to be the one who burns the animal? This is the one who helps literally during the time of burning. I've also said, what does it mean to help? Now, again, to burn meat, Lahavdil, same when you barbecue. So what do you have to do? You have to turn over. You have to turn up. So too, if you're trying to burn the meat in the fire, if you just, I guess if you just leave it alone, over time it will burn, but it takes a lot longer. If instead you go ahead and you stand there and you keep on rotating it so that it gets evenly burned, then the mice again, it burns faster. That's the person who ultimately becomes tamei. So the Gemara says, Yachol af mishena'asu afar metamin begadim. I might have thought that even after the par and the soyer become ashes, that if somebody touches it, they become tamei. Talmud lomar osam. Therefore, the pasuk says them osam mikad mikmatam begadim. It's only when they're in their original state that they're mitam begadim. Below mishena asu afra mitam begadim. But once they become ash, they do not transmit tumor. But those are Rishim and Omer es hapar mitame nita chabasar einu mitame begadim. So also again, Rabbi Shimon says that nita chabasar literally means once the meat becomes decomposed, then lemaise again it no longer transmits tuma. So my benayu. So also again, remember you had the previous opinion that said that once it becomes ash, it no longer transmits tuma, and you have Rabbi Lozu who says that once it decomposes, it no longer transmits tuma. So Rabbi says my benayu. They seem to be saying the same thing. Ikibenayu deshavi charucha. You know the difference is. We'll say, let's say where the meat, the animal is totally charred. So you can have a state in which the animal is totally charred, but it's not yet ash. According to the first opinion, that would still transmit tumah. If you were to touch it, ultimately it would still transmit tumah because the tumah designation only goes away when it becomes ash. But according to the second opinion that says that once it's reached the state of nitach, decomposition, it no longer transmits tumah. Once it's charred already, it's considered to be decomposed and will no longer transmit tumah. Mishnah. Amr l'kohen gadol. So we'll say they would tell the Kohen Gadol, the Seir La'azazel has arrived in the desert. Now, why do they have to tell him this? Look at Rashi. Amru the Kohen Gadol, Rashi says, She'eino Roshei Lahaschel Ba'avod Acheres Ad She'egiyas Seir Lemidbar. The Kohen Gadol cannot continue the service of Yom Kippur until the Seir reached the desert. She'ne'emar, V'shalach Es HaSeir Bamidbar, V'acher Kach, V'eschele V'achatos Yachter V'zich. So remember again, what did he do? When the Sotir left, remember? What did he do from yesterday?
He did the bulls and the Sotir.
Good. Remember, he took out the sacrificial parts, right? And what did he do with them? He put them in a bowl. But remember, we saw already yesterday that he can't sacrifice them. When can he sacrifice them? Only when he knows the Sotir reached the desert. Again, it doesn't have to go off the cliff, because getting to the end of the cliff could be a whole day, could be a whole day affair. So now he doesn't have to, but he has to let the soil reach the desert. So Gemara says, Minai hayu yodin shegiyas al midbar. So how did you know that? So the Gemara says, listen, this is very interesting. Dir kos hayu osin umanifin bisudarin the yodin shegiyas al midbar. So what's this? Very interesting. So he had dir kos. Now what are dir kos? Look at Rashi. B'nei adam omdim yushayim l'tzuk v'chtei shiira ze simano shal zeh ומניף and also has smooch in the midbar besudar and v'zeh asamach lo roa umanif kamu roa chaver asamach yushan. So let's listen to this. So what happened? They had watchmen, and what they had watchmen positioned at different points. And essentially, again, I guess these must have been different than the people in the sukkos. I guess two different sets of personnel here. So had people in the desert, and what happened? You had guys stationed at different points, and when the sir got to the desert, the guy closest to him would wave his handkerchief. The guy in the next watch point would wave his handkerchief, so on and so forth. Kind of like what they used to do by Rosh Chodesh, right? When they used to signal the signal fires, and they'd signal all the way back to Yerushalayim, to Yerushalayim, and they would know that the Sawyer reached the desert. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, I believe this is, I'm going to make it much easier for you. V'alo simin gadol hayulahem. It's a much easier simin. Yerushalayim v'ad beis chadudo shlosha milin. So I will say, Rabbi Yehuda says, from Yerushalayim until the desert, Beis Chidudo literally means the place of sharpness, which refers to the cliff. Now, it doesn't have to mean to the cliff itself, it just means to the desert itself. Rashi says, Beis Chidudo, Hu Rosh Hamidbar, because also we will see, once you get the goat, the ikar is, get the goat to the desert. Get the goat to the desert. Once the goat gets to the desert, we're in good shape. We'll see, even if something happens to it afterwards, you're okay. So this is like this, the distance between Yerushalayim and the desert was shlosha mil, was 3 mil. Watch this. Holchim mil, the chozim mil. So we'll say, watch this. Remember, we saw in the two Mishnahs ago that what? The person who took the seal azazel wouldn't go himself. Who would accompany him? The Yakire Yerushan, the important people of Jerusalem. They would go ahead and accompany him for a mil. So they walked a mil. They then had to travel back to the Beis HaMikdash a mil. And then what? V'shohin kidei mil. And they waited the amount of time that it would take to walk a mil. And tada, what do you have? V'yodin she'egia sa'ir l'midbar. So again, if we know that this is between the Beis HaMikdash and the desert is 3 mil, they already walked 2 of those mil, wait the amount of time it takes to wait a 3rd mil, and you know now that the Sawyer reached the Midbar. Of course, Sabosai, the fundamental machlokis over here between Rabbi Shmuel and Tanakama is Rabbi Shmuel is making a huge assumption. Rabbi Shmuel is, you know, let's say the animal got sick on the way and he had to carry it, takes longer. So Rabbi Shmuel is just using an objective time measurement, whereas the Tanakama is saying, let's know with certainty. Okay. Nevertheless, interesting. Somewhere says, and what happens? And the Mishnah says, and by the way, there's another simon that the Sawyer reached the desert. What's the other simon? There was a red string that was tied in the entrance of the Beis HaMikdash. So most of it is obviously going back to the Gears and the Gemara of what was done originally. And what would happen? And when the goat reached the desert, Haya Haloshon Malbin, the string would turn white. Shene Emar, because the pasuk says, "In yuchata ichem kashon and kashal galbinu." Even if your sins are as red as crimson wool, I will turn them white as snow. So, both say, third opinion of the Mishnah says, I don't have to measure space or distance. I don't even have to go ahead and set up watchmen. It's very simple. How do I know when the Sa'ir is reached the desert? When the red wool turns white. Now, of course, both according to this opinion, what it would literally be saying is the Kohen Gadol wouldn't do the avodah until when? Until the goat was actually pushed off the cliff. Or the other possibility is that this opinion holds that the string would actually turn white when the goat would actually just reach the desert. Okay, so the Gemara says the following. We'll say, just so you should know, let's finish the Gemara. Gemara, Amar Rabbi, Shema Mina, Beis Chidudo B'Midbar Kaima. So Rabbi, we see from here, by the way, that what the Mishnah refers to as the Beis Chidudo is actually at the beginning of the desert. Beginning of the desert, because the Mishnah doesn't talk about pushing off the cliff. The Mishnah is arrival in the desert. And Rabbi said, what do we see from here? That according to Rabbi Yehuda, once the goat reached the desert, the mitzvah was done. And therefore, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi said, if let's say something happened, let's say this Sarsha dropped dead in a desert, he exhausted and blessed him. Before it even got to the cliff, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you would not have to repeat the service. Rabbi said, the Rambam paskins, like the first approach in the Mishnah, namely that they would set up these dirkos, they would set up these watchmen throughout the entire way between the Beis HaMikdash and the desert. They would signal back, and only once they got positive information that the goat has landed, right? The goat has reached the desert, then Lamaisa, the Kohen Gadol, was able to go in and continue with the service. Hadron Allah Shnei Seirim. Bado Kohen Gadol Likros. What happens? Kohen Gadol now comes from, we'll say, now, remember, we're continuing the service. So now where are we? Remember? So now at this point in time, Sa'ir is in the desert. Kohen Gadol has now offered up the fat and the sacrificial parts of the power in the Sa'ir. Now what happens? Very interesting. Bado Kohen Gadol Likros. They now come. Kohen Gadol comes to read the Torah. Look at Rashi. Likros. Esa Parsha. He comes to read the Parsha of Yom Kippur. The Afinam Milum Darmina Beperikamon. Excuse me. Beperikamon. Minayin Af Mikra Parsha Ma'akim. So we'll say now, Now the Kohen Gadol goes ahead and what? Now the Kohen Gadol goes ahead and comes to read the Parsha of Yom Kippur in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash itself. So what does the Gemara say? Mishnah say, Im Ratzal Likros Bebig Dei Boots. Go right. If he wants to read in his linen clothing. Now I will say again, remember his linen clothing is the special white clothing of Yom Kippur. So I will say, I want to be clear on something. What's interesting over here is the reading of the Torah of Yom Kippur in the Azar, in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, was not a part of the Avodah. Not a part of the Avodah. We'll see where we learn it out from, but it's not. So what happens? The Mishnah says, if he wants to wear his white clothing, he can. But if he doesn't wear his white clothing, he wants to change it to something different. Korei be'itzdalis lavan mishalo. He could go ahead and he could put on his own white robe. Meaning he would still wear white, but he could put on even his, meaning he doesn't even have to wear regular big day kuna. He could put on his own white robe. Also listen to this. So the Gemara says, Chazan HaKnesses, no tell Sefer Torah. So the Chazan of the Shul, and I'll say this is amazing, look at Rashi, Beis HaKnesses, Hayu Samach La'azara B'Harabayis. There was a Shul right next to the courtyard of the Harabayis. So shul there. I'm trying out for that job when Mashiach comes. Right, so what happens? So there's a shul right there next to the Beis HaMikdash. So what happens? Chazan HaKnesses. So who is the Chazan of Osai? The Chazan, Rashi says, is the Shamish. So the Chazan he's the Shamish. So the Shamish of the Beis HaMikdash, what did he do? Notel Sefer Torah, the Notel Rosh HaKnesses. They gave it to, he then gave it to the Rosh HaKnesses of Osai. Who's the Rosh HaKnesses? This is very interesting. He says, now Rosh HaKnesses was the most important person in the congregation. So who was? You look at Rashi. Alpiv nechtochin tzarech HaKnesses. He is the guy who decides all of the important things in shul. Like, mi maftir, who gets the Haftorah. Mi poreis al shema, who davens for the Amid. Mi overlif me'ateva, who's the chazen? The Gabbai, right? So I also again suggest you better give Chaim new respect, right? He is the Rosh, Chaim, we're not calling, calling you Rosh HaKnesses from now on. So what happens? He gives the Rosh HaKnesses, and what happens? Nosna Lisgan. So the Rosh HaKnesses, you have to understand something. These are all very important people. So there's an incredible, like, I'm sorry?
Chain.
Yeah, it's a chain, but there's a name for it. Not a procession, but... maybe procession. Okay. There's a whole procession over here. So what happens? He gives it to the scan. The scan knows not the coin godel. Scan gives it to the coin godel. The coin godel omate umekabel. And what happens? And the coin godel receives it and he stands while reading it. So the Gemara says, what is he? The kore acharemos, the ach ba'asar. So what does he do? He reads acharemos. Achremos, and he also reads in Ach Ba'aser, which will say Parshas Emor. So write the Parsha that details ultimately the section of Yom Kippur. So again, Achremos is the Avodah, Ach Ba'aser is the Avodah sacrificial service, the Golel Sefer Torah, and then what happens? He rolls back up the Sefer Torah, Umanicha Becheko, and he holds it against his chest, V'omer, and he says, Yoser Mima Shekarasi Lefanecha Kasuv Kan. There's much more than what I've read to you is written over here. Okay, look at Rashi. It's not exactly clear why he says this. Why does he have to say more than what I've read? Obviously, he's holding a whole scroll and he's read two paragraphs. So we'll see what that statement means. So what happens? And Abosai, he reads from Chumash HaPikudim, right? He reads that Alpeh, he reads it by heart. Look at Rashi. Shebe Chumash HaKipudim, Sefer Vayidaber, this Chumash Bamidbar, Shemaschilin b'minyonin shal Yisrael, Ube Parshas Pinchas, Ba'osa Sefer, V'sham HaMusafin Emor. So we'll say, he reads Parshas Pinchas, Ba'peh. And we'll say, now again, we'll see why he reads Parshas Pinchas Ba'peh. So again, remember, he's reading from Sefer Vayikra, he's reading inside the text, Sefer, again, he's holding a Sefer Torah in his hand, but he still reads that Parsha Ba'peh. We'll discuss why. So Gemara says, what happens? Umavarech alei shmona brachos. And he recites eight brachos on this Kriya. What are the brachos? Ala Torah. So if you look at Rashi, Rashi says, Ala Torah is brachos shel achareha asher nasan lanu. So the bracha of Ala Torah, the Mishnah identifies as asher nasan lanu Torah's MS, v'chaye olam nasab nata b'sochinu. So Ala Torah, Al ha'avoda, Rashi says, Ritzei. That's the paragraph Ritzei from Shemona Esrei. Ritzei ba'amchu Yisrael, v'tirtze ha'avoda b'dir v'secha. Obviously, it's a little bit different because our Ritzei is reflective of an anticipatory wish that the avoda return back to the Beis HaMikdash, whereas the Ritzei that he said was reflective of the actual ability to do the avoda. Al ha'hodo, a thanksgiving blessing. What is that? Rashi says, Modim anachnu loch. Al hatov lo, al hatov lecha, lehodos al havoda, mevarech b'shul havoda. So he says a bracha, thank Hashem Baruch Hu for the ability to do sacrificial service. Al ha'oda. Excuse me, did I skip over here? I'm sorry. Al havoda for sacrificial service, right? That's what it say. Al ha'oda, modin thanksgiving, v'al mechilas avon, and for forgiveness of sin. Rashi points out to be al mechilas avon, machol la avon usin v'yom kipurim azeh. Ad melech mochav v'soech lavonos. We'll say here what's amazing. We say that bracha, right? That is our bracha in Musaf of Yom Kippur. So we'll say, amazing enough, the Kohen Gadol would say, just amazing that you know, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash yet, but to know that I say the same bracha that the Kohen Gadol stood as he was standing there after the Avodah of Yom Kippur, it's mind blowing. V'amichidas ha'avon v'al ha'mikdash b'fnei atzmo. Then there was another bracha that was recited about the Beis HaMikdash. By itself, Rashi says, ala mikdash, mispala ala mikdash v'chosem, baruch shebachar b'mikdash. So there's another separate bracha just about the Beis HaMikdash. V'al Yisrael b'fnei atzma. There was a bracha about Klal Yisrael on their own. V'al Yishalayim b'fnei atzma. There was a bracha about Yishalayim by itself. V'al HaKohanim b'fnei atzma. And a bracha for the Kohanim on their own as well. Rashi says, ala Kohanim, mispala ala Kohanim, v'chosem, Baruch Shebachar Bizarro Shel Aaron V'chein Al Yisrael. So there were several brachos to thank the Baruch Hu for the Kohanim and to thank the Baruch Hu for Klal Yisrael in general. Fine. V'al Shar HaTfila, and then a general brach for the rest of Tfila. Obviously, we'll discuss all of these brachos when we get into the Gemara. So mostly the Mishnah says something very interesting. Haruah Kohen Gadol Kishu Korei Eino Ruah Par Bisar HaNisrafin. If somebody sees a Kohen Gadol when he was reading the Torah in the Azara, they would not see the burning of the par and the soyer. The haroe par v'soyer kishen nisrafin. Excuse me, and when if one saw the par and the soyer being burned, eino roa kohen gadol k'shukore. You couldn't see the kohen gadol when he was reading the Torah in the Azara. V'lo mipnei she'eino rashoi. Now it's not because you're not allowed to. Ela shahaisa derech rechoka umeleches shneyen shada ka'ach. So what the Gemara says is like this. It's not because you couldn't, but rather why. Where was the burning of the par and the soyer taking place? Outside of where? Of Yerushalayim, Shalosh Machanos. Where is the reading of the Torah taking place? In the Azora of the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara is just pointing out again, you can't dance at two chasnas, you can't be in two places at once. And these two things are happening simultaneously. Because remember again, as soon as the Kohen Gadol went ahead and took out the sacrificial parts, the part of the Torah already being taken out. So he burns them, and he is reading the Torah as they are burning the part of the Torah. So you had to choose a venue. Multiple events happening over here, you have to choose a venue as to where you are going to be. And if you are watching the part of the Torah, you couldn't be by the Torah reading. Says the Gemara, Midiktani be'itzdilis lava mishalo, also, it's interesting, going back to the first statement, remember again, the Mishnah said that if the Kohen Gadol wanted to wear his Kohanic white clothing, he could. But if he wanted to wear his own white clothing, he could do that also. Now, the fact that he could wear his own clothing signals that what? Signals that the reading of the Torah is not part of the Avodah. But yet, V'katani imratza likras big day boots, kore. But yet, what does it say? But yet, it says that l'maisa, if the Kohen Gadol wanted to wear the white Kohanic clothing, he could. Shamus mine, big day. So I'll say, what do you say? So now, what's interesting is the Mishnah is giving license for the Kohen Gadol to wear the big day kuhuna, even though he's not performing avodah. So I says, what do you see from here? Shamus mina, big day kuhuna, nitnu lehanaspan. What do you see from here? That you are permitted to get non avodah benefit from the clothing. So I'll say, how do you see that? The fact that the Kohen Gadol wears it for non avodah purposes is the Kohen Gadol getting benefit from the clothing. So you see that it's permitted to get better from the clothing. Dilma shiny kriya the tzarech avodahi. Maybe it's different. Maybe because the kriya, even though Rabbi say what, even though it's not called an avodah, it's what we call tzarech avodah, meaning it's sacrificial service like. It's under this whole umbrella of what we call avodah. The boilan, because we asked the question. Big day kahuna nitnu leharotzpan. Although nitnu leharotzpan, we asked the shayla. Are you permitted to get benefits from Big Day Kahuna or not? And what does the Gemara say? Tashma, lohayu yishinu b'Big Day Kodesh. So what did the Braisa say? The Braisa said they were not permitted to sleep in their Big Day Kodesh. Rabbi, this is in general. This is by Kohanim in general. At Big Day Kahuna, Kohanim were not permitted to. You had to have pajamas. You had to bring your own pajamas. You could not sleep in your Big Day Kahuna. Also remember, they were sleeping in the Beis HaMikdash. There were special quarters, special barracks, but they could not sleep in their Big Day Kahuna. Stigma says, Shinohu Dolo. So you can't sleep in them. So, ha. And Rashi says, Shinohu Dolo. Shami Yafiach is literally a concern of flatulence. What the Gemara is saying over here is that maybe the concern is by sleeping, because maybe by sleeping in general, all kinds of stuff happens when people see. So maybe we don't want, and again, it could be seminal emission, it could be a whole variety of things. So maybe it's just dafka sleeping that we don't want the Kohanim to do in the clothing. However, but yet what do you see from here? You can't sleep in the Vidik, but what can you do? You can eat. You can't eat in them. Now, I will say, obviously, when the Kohen Gadol is eating, so that's his own business. So the Ma'aseh say, yeah, but yet you could still eat in the Beit HaKohen, which would seem to indicate what? That you could even wear a Big Day Kohen for non-Avodah-related purposes. No. Shiny Achila, The Torah Avodi. The Rebbe saying that's not true. Remember, what is a Kohen eating when he's on duty? He's eating karbanos. He's eating menachos. So that's part of the avoda. Kiddushan. Also, remember again, there's no independent Kohanic cafeteria in the Beis Hamikdash, right? It's not the, well, you don't like meat. If you don't like meat and you're a Kohen, right, you're in big, big trouble. Because again, or if you're gluten free, you're also in big trouble, right? If you don't like carbs and you don't like meat, better find another job. Because so the Gemara says, because what did the Brice say? Kiddushan. You have achlu asama shakup arbahem. What does the Torah say? They will eat it, those who achieved atonement. What do we see from here? Melamed shakohanim ochlim ubayli miskarpim. Now, both say again, in order for the owners of the korban to go ahead and achieve full atonement, what has to happen? The kohanim have to consume their portion. So you see that for a kohen, eating is not an unrelated avoda act, but rather it's part and parcel of the avoda. So of course they could eat in their big day kuhuna. So the Gemara says, shinohu delo. So we'll say, so what do you see from here? So yes, the Kohen Gadol can eat in his clothing because again, that's part of the avoda. What can't he do? He can't sleep in them. But it would seem to be again that he could, if he wanted to shpatzir, let's say he has a few minutes between karbanos, and he wants to take a walk. Apparently, he's permitted to do that And yet, what? That's called wearing the clothing for non-avoda related purposes. Which the Gemara says, no, you're right. Bidinhu dehiluche nami. In reality, a Kohen shouldn't even just spatzir in his big dekun. If he wants to spatzir, he should change into his own clothing. Top of Samech Tes, the Seifa Itzrichale. But really, what we're coming to teach here is the whole din of Shein. We're coming to teach the din of sleeping. Poshtin umekaplin umunachin tach umanichin tachas rasheim. Really, what the Brice was coming to impress upon us was what? Was that Lemaisa, again, really what we're concerned is when the Kohen goes to sleep, he should not wear his big day kahuna. Instead, what did the Kohanim do when they went to sleep? They would take off their big day kahuna, they would fold it up, and they would place it underneath their head, using it as a pillow. Even though Rabosa Yukatina, what we'll see in tomorrow's daf, is that not an appropriate usage of big day kahuna as well? But at least taking care of the first issue, where the Gemara felt that wearing it while you're sleeping could lead to some inappropriate things while a person is sleeping. Therefore, lemaisa, at least we remedy that particular piece by saying that don't wear it, but you could fold it up and put it underneath your head. So we're not finished with this sugya. We still have to figure out what exactly. We now know, of course, the Kohen could wear it during eating because eating is part of avoda. But the shayla is, what about spatzering? What about for the reading of the Torah? That in Yerushalayim will be resolved tomorrow.
Rabbi,
you don't
die on the way to the cliff.
I think tomorrow we're going to have to start again at 5:45. Very long day tomorrow, so 5:45.
If the goat died on the way to the cliff, they still chucked it off?
No, so we'll discuss that. Okay.
So, and the thing that the Kohen Gadol did is sort of like